and welcome to Canada Obscura. My name is Mary.
I'm Shelley.
And this is a show where we... Why did you say that so quiet?
Because I'm really sleepy.
This is a show where we cover all sorts of spooky, scary things that take place in Canada, such as true crime, ghost stories, hauntings, cryptids, UFOs. Whatever. You get the drift. The format of the show is we each cover a story. Oh my god,
this is we such each a cover a thing each... and we don't tell each other what the thing is.
Yes.
And then yeah.
Oh fuck. Welcome to 2019. The first podcast of 2019 and we fucked it up. Just a couple of preliminary warnings, one I always swear. Two, we do cover some harrowing shit, and that is including but not limited to murder, rape, sexual assault, child abuse, drug abuse, mental health issues,
torture.
Gore. Yeah. So if it's something that, we'll be vigilant to, like...
Or we'll try anyway.
Yeah, to, like, actually let you know when that's coming up. But if you think that's going to affect you, perhaps come back another day. Shelley, how are you?
Other than tired. Yeah.
Tired?
Yeah.
So, you got a haircut. It looks really nice.
I did. It's the shortest I've had it since high school, and high school is not a good time, but, like...
Big chop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, my hair wasn't that long just before, but you remember in university, my hair was, like, down to my waist.
Yeah.
So, I've come a long way.
I'm just gonna crank up the gain, and it doesn't... Oh, it does go a bit higher. Hi. Yeah, how was your new... Oh, Happy New Year, guys. I said that already, but Happy New Year. How was your New Year's, Shelley?
So, my New Year's is really... It was nothing. I was going to say, I'm trying to word it. It's like embodied by this series of messages within my group chat with my friends where Dylan goes like, were you lit? Nicole says, no. Were you? Dylan goes, no. And that was basically it. Because I only had New Year's Day off and then the next day I had to...
Go back to work,
and I have to get up at 8:00 in order to get to work on time, so...
You can't even stay up late.
No.
Not really, at least.
New Year's Eve I could have, but I was so tired because I worked that day, and I was up at 8:00.
Yeah.
So I just barely made it to midnight and then passed out.
Yeah.
But that was...
That was your New Year's? Yeah. I went over to Mel's house. Hi, Mel. And I just hung out with her and her partner. And we drank, and we played board games. We played this game called Villainous, and it's like a Disney game where you play as a Disney villain. And it's like these villains against each other. And it's super cool because it's like a very strategy-based game.
Huh.
And like, depending on the villain you are, you have completely different powers, completely different cards, different things you can and can't do depending on what your powers are, whatever the fuck. And you have like a little board, and there's like little things you can do, and you have to like... race to the clock to get all your shit together, or whatever. There's like an objective that each villain has to do.
One of my friends, Lewis, who may or may not be listening, I don't know if he's like listened to an episode or two, but he's a board game nerd.
Yeah.
So at our Secret Santa thing, he got a board game for his Secret Santa, and then we were playing that, and it's no clue. It's basically like a word game. So you have cards, you flip the card, and if the card that you have matches the symbol, you have to say something that matches the category. It's
okay.
There's a little bit more to that, but like that's basically the idea. Mm. It's like you see a category, you have to, and it got really stressful for Jana. Oh. So I renamed her on our group chat as
Oh my god.
I'm not even sorry. And fucking Dylan. I told you about the gift he gave me.
Yeah.
So Dylan was my Secret Santa. And so he took... I was concerned because we were trying to guess who is each other's Secret Santa, right? And I was like, fuck, I think he's mine.
Silly Dilly.
And I was really concerned because you never know with Dylan. He was saying he was just going to get whoever, like...
A dildo. Yeah, there you go.
And so he gave me... it was a box, and it was wrapped in, like, Christmas wrapping paper, and I unwrapped it, and I looked, and I'm like, that's a shoebox for a men's size 11 shoe. And I'm like, what? So I know he's messing with me,
for sure.
So I unwrap that, I open it, it's another fucking box.
Yep.
And this one's wrapped, like, very thoroughly. It's got tape all over it. I unwrapped that. It's another fucking box. This one was put in a plastic no-frills bag and then wrapped in tape. That's so I had to cut through that. Funny. Another fucking box.
Oh my God.
Cut through that one. And then I think, and then there was one more little tiny box. Mm-hmm. And it was like a Christmas stocking stuffer type box where it had like a little panda thing with like a elf hat. It was cute. And I opened it and it was just a single condom. Just one.
Oh my God.
Yeah. There's like a 10-minute video of this process.
That's so funny. Attaboy, Dylan.
I mean, he did get me a real gift.
Yeah, but
he
got me the fuckery gift.
Yeah, because of fucking course, yeah. Dylan gets me, of all people. Yeah. It's between the people who were part of the Secret Santa, there's really only, it's either me or Jana that he would mess with.
Okay. Yeah, well, so since he was asking everybody about dildos, you're like, oh, fuck, it's coming.
Well, because, so the site that we use to like arrange the whole Secret Santa thing, like you could put a wish list, right?
Ah,
like okay. if people didn't really know what to get you, and the only thing he put on his wish list was this horrifying, like, fleshlight thing. Like it was like a mouse.
Oh, fleshlight. I know exactly
and, what you're And like talking about. It looks.
Was it the one with the mustache on it?
I don't remember. Oh. I just remember that it was horrifying.
Yeah.
And that was the only thing he had on there. So poor Lewis, who had him, who picked him from Secret Santa, was like, what the fuck do I get him? Because all he had was a fucking fleshlight.
You get him the fucking fleshlight. You make the man happy.
No, it was above the price range anyway. Oh. But it was good times. It was really fun.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I'll show you the video.
Please do. That's a little fuckery. I like that.
Yeah.
Good job, Dylan. Good job, silly dilly. Dildo. Silly dildo. Anyway.
The little box with the condom still sitting on my shelf.
Yeah, well, that's actually really funny. Your parents are going to open your mom, because she's nosy, will open it one day and be yeah. like, Shelly!
Oh, whatever. I'm 20 fucking 6 years old.
I know. I still have that condom you brought me back from Iceland, was it? Yeah, it was Iceland, yeah.
The geyser? The stroker?
It's over there, yeah. I still have the bag you brought it into. It's so funny.
Because I got it from the Phallic Museum in Reykjavik.
Yeah.
I didn't actually go in the museum because I didn't feel like paying.
Oh, yeah. But
just like, to see a bunch of penises, you
when
know?
When Shelly was there, she's like, I got you something from a place that you're going to love. And I was like, okay.
I sent you a picture of the bag, didn't I? Before...
I don't remember. Did you?
I think I did. Because it, the bag says the Phallic Museum of Reykjavik or something.
Yeah, and then, like, the way that the packaging is like, it's, like, a dude laying down, and, like, the condom is supposed to, like, unroll where his dick is or whatever.
It was... No. I think it showed the geyser, so, like...
Mm.
And, funny enough, the geyser is named Stroker.
You know what? Please, hold. I'm gonna go get it.
I love that it's been sitting there for... Three years?
Has it really been that long?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Hell yeah. Look at that, first of all. Okay, I'll have to post like a picture. Look at this.
Oh yeah!
I told ya!
The condom shows like the geyser erupting, mm-hmm. you know, where the dick is supposed
to
be. Yeah. Yeah. And I picked this one because we actually visited this geyser, like all the other ones. Well, I mean, there's the Northern Lights, but that one's not as fun. But also, it's called the Stroker.
The Stroker.
If you were to say it in English, I don't know how to pronounce it.
I barely know her. Anyway. moving on. I start school on the day that this is posted.
Yeah.
I go back to everything all at once at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm just, like, I need a fucking break, like, a vacation. Because, like, I was trying to go to Vancouver.
Oh.
Because the tickets dropped down to $400 next week. But it completely fell apart because I have a million and one things to do already.
Yeah, and school started. And you're like, you don't really want to miss.
I didn't care. I was like, fuck that. It's like week one or two. I could totally go.
See, I would, but depending on if it was like first or second year or whatever, like I would feel anxious missing first week of school because that's when you kind of get the gist
first
of
week.
Things.
Yeah, but I would be going. I, like theoretically speaking, if I were to go, I'd be going like end of this coming week.
Okay.
Next week. So, like, my classes would have already happened.
Okay.
And, like, the one that I would be missing is an editing class, which, whatever. But, it completely fell apart because I have to deal with two separate clients right now. Mm. And then on top of that, the web series that I'm doing and, like, everything. I need a break. So, I don't know.
A break, but you feel anxious if you try to take one?
Well, that's the thing. It was, like, I was, like, oh, just gonna, like, put feelers out and see what's going on in the next couple of weeks. So if I could just, like, peace out for a little bit. And it was like, nope, 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 nope. And I was like, okay.
Never mind.
Okay. Like, yeah, no, it's whatever. I'm just excited to have the semester finish. So, because that's, like,
then
it just
done.
Takes so much of my fucking time, yeah. You know? And, like, if I were to just work for one thing, it would be a lot better than working for five things all at once. So, yeah, well, whatever. But,
pieces.
Yeah. Okay, so the last time I talked about this, I talked about taking a gen ed. And I was like, I don't know, I just fucking picked one. Whatever. Oh, yeah. I just picked the first one I saw. So it was wrongfully convicted, which was going to be, like, super interesting because I was like, oh, you know what? I might as well just use this to, supplement my shit for the podcast. Mm-hmm. Yep. I have to buy a $150 textbook. And I have to buy it because it comes with a Connect online code to do the thing. So I'm switching up on Monday.
Yeah, no, not worth it.
When this is posted, I'm switching out.
For an elective, not worth it.
Are you kidding me? Absolutely not. I'm not spending that money on a fucking elective. No.
I'm glad, like, at least most of my profs in university and the college course that I took were like, fuck textbooks.
Yeah.
Yeah, my one prof was actually like, it wasn't textbooks that would have been 100% relevant to her course, but, like, you know how they get samples, right? From publishers.
Yeah.
So she was like, I don't need these. You guys can take them if you want, like, supplementary material. She was just giving them away.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she gave no fucks.
She probably didn't even fucking read them. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you can hear the phone ringing. Who the fuck's Oh, it's 8:30.
It's only 8:30. So
pretty early.
It feels like it's midnight.
We still have a fucking landline. right.
We use VoIP.
Yeah,
because the only time we use a landline really is to call overseas anyway.
Yeah.
So.
See, I don't know. The only reason why we use the landline is because my mom is always talking on it, despite the fact that she has a cell phone, and because telemarketers call us. So, like, I don't know. Oh.
I think the point is to not have
yes.
a landline so that you don't have telemarketers.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. There was something else that I was going to talk about. I guess I'll talk about next episode because don't fucking remember. I watch Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, yeah! Yeah. Finally!
Yeah, yeah.
Finally!
It was ridiculously good.
You watched it on, like, New Year's Eve, didn't you?
No, Christmas Day.
Christmas Day?
And then I had to finish the rest of it. Boxing Day. Yeah, I had to finish the rest of it Boxing Day. It was so fucking good.
Yeah.
So fucking good.
See, first, and here's...
Yeah?
Okay. Spoilers.
A hell of fucking spoilers.
Now. So I've seen theories that it was the black mold that made them hallucinate. And I'm like, fuck you.
No.
That's such a boring explanation for such a masterfully written story.
Yeah.
Like, even though, in theory, it's entirely possible that it was some weird strain of black mold that
Makes and they all had a shared hallucination.
Which happens, though.
I don't know, but I don't like that explanation.
No,
that's not a sufficient explanation.
It's like the whole, and I woke up and it was all a dream bullshit. Like, it's lazy.
Yeah, it's very lazy. Very lazy.
And considering all the thought, all the tiny little details, and those little things that when you go back and watch, you're like, holy shit!
Yeah, and the cinematography was phenomenal! Holy shit, I couldn't stop paying attention to it.
Yeah.
Like, it was so well done. That one episode with that 17-minute long scene that was just one continuous cut.
Dizzy.
It was so fucking good, though.
No, it was, because I've seen a little behind-the-scenes thing where they, and, like, it, you know, it's great to see when it's all done, but when you're watching it, like, from behind the scenes, watching the camera coordination
just, like, spin,
with the
spin,
actors.
Spin, yeah.
And, like, because it's
running
not...
In,
because
running
the
out.
Thing is, and I've watched a ton of interviews because I loved it, and, like, they actually built a good portion, like, they built a house, right? It was, they had a house for the exterior shots, and then I think a couple interior shots was done in the actual house that they used, but obviously most of it would be a set.
Yeah.
Right? So, but they built it, like, two-story.
Yes.
And So it wasn't like, you know, most sets, it's very open to give you camera accessibility, yeah. right? But yeah. this was like built like a house.
Yeah.
So watching like they were actually walking down a real hallway.
Yes.
And
yes.
just even the idea of keeping in mind, making sure that this camera person is out of shot of this camera as yeah. it's moving, and like it was, it's really cool. Oh, it made me super phenomenal. Dizzy.
Yeah.
Because I had a migraine while I was watching it, and I was watching it in bed sideways, so maybe that was probably not
you
a good
think?
Idea.
You think? But it was so well done, and I saw just like a brief thing of it behind the scenes of like, again, spoilers, like where you have like the father talking to all the kids / adults, and they keep like, it'll like spin back to him and then spin back, and then their youth selves, and then it spins back to him and spins
back.
Like
the connectivity.
Yeah, and then you just see
the
them like
and
run
the past,
run back, run, and it was like, yeah, it was so fucking good,
it was
so
well
so
edited.
Good. And I know that they built like that funeral home, like to. Because, like, that, they, at one point, he, like, walked down a hallway or whatever, and it just, like, turned into, like, the fucking
the house
or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They built that, and, like, it took them,
oh,
I think
I didn't
it was.
Know that.
Yeah. So, like, the actual house itself, the interior, like, they built that as a massive set.
Mm-hmm.
Like, up that spiral staircase, it was an actual thing, so they had to take extra precaution going up there.
So that they don't end up with like, a real haunting.
Yeah, of Hill House set. But
just in brackets,
set. A little asterisk. But yeah, no, the funeral home, yeah, and it took them, I think it was either 5 or 6 weeks to rehearse.
Yeah,
which
is
not surprising because it's a 17-minute, like.
Not to mention, like, some of those actors are really young.
They're babies. They're babies.
Literally babies.
Yeah.
But, like, so talented.
And, yeah. And the matching that they did of the, like,
yeah.
it's so
eerie.
Fucking good.
It's eerie. Like, you can almost see an actual family resemblance between the adult actors and the kid actors.
Oh, 100%. And you could, like, figure out, like, who's who, too. So, like, which, you know, like, helped so much context-wise, especially because, like, you're, like, as soon as the show starts, you're thrown right into, like, flashback. Of,
yeah.
Like, whatever, 30 years later or whatever the
like,
shit it was.
The
yeah.
mannerisms, they had it down pat. The mm-hmm. looks, they had it down pat. It was great.
It was really, really good.
Yeah.
And I loved every single one of them. Like, they all were adorable. Yes. And they're all so good-looking. Holy fuck.
I know.
Holy fuck. Olivia with her beautiful hair and her tiny little silk robes just, like, fucking gracing us with her presence. I was like, please, please, like, why don't you walk through my halls like this? Like, just, she was, oh, God, it made me so sad, like, the ultimate whatever happened with her.
Yeah.
To keep it as spoiler-free as possible, even though we just
said.
Yeah, but we're talking from technical standpoints. We're not really revealing anything. I will say, though, here is an actual spoiler, like, spoiler. The bent neck lady thing.
Yeah.
I called it from, like,
episode
2. And I was watching it with my brothers. And they were like, no, it's got to be the mother. It's got to
I saw
maybe
it.
Maybe it's an actual girl. And I was like, no.
No, I saw it coming, too.
Yep.
But the other spoiler, the other reveal.
Oh, fucking, the little
that
girl,
one, yeah,
Abigail.
That
I did
one
not
I did
expect
not see
that. No, because, like, the way that they framed
not in,
it.
I saw it coming towards the end, like, so before the reveal.
Mm. No, yeah.
It wasn't.
Because it was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, she's taking everybody into the room. Oh, fuck, wait, what? Fuck, what? But, like, for the first, like, the rest of the season, like, the beginning parts of it was like, oh, totally a fucking,
Because Luke is a talented, terrifying artist.
Yes.
Who makes everything turn terrifying. I mean, kids kind of, you must have seen those, like, kids drawing terrifying pictures accidentally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I'm hydrating.
I would also like a sip.
So for those of you who didn't watch Haunting of Hill House, sorry that probably sounded frustrating as fuck because of all the dropped sentences, but those of you who did watch it,
you know what we're talking about.
Yeah,
it's usually
very well done.
A lot of times, like, when someone, like, raves about a show or a movie or whatever, like, I'll watch and I'll be like, yeah, I mean, it was good.
It was okay.
Amazing,
yeah.
But I
this
really,
was really,
really
good.
Really liked it. It was really
And I
well
finally
done.
Got to the part where you're, because the last episode that we posted, which was like episode 30, are like, oh, goodbye 2018, whatever, fucking New Year's resolutions are a piece of shit. You said, like, time falls around us like confetti.
Yeah.
And I got to that part and I was like, it's so pretty, I'm crying.
Yeah.
Like, it was really, really, like, the ending was like, I felt like it was good closure.
Yeah,
good
some
closure.
People, there is a theory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, huge, huge spoiler here. So yeah. Skip ahead about 30 or so seconds.
Yeah.
There was a theory, because every time, like, the color red kind of signifies. Yeah,
the red
so
room.
At the end, when you have that cake with Luke's, like, 2 year sobriety.
I saw that.
It was red, yep. Right? So they were like, maybe it was all just Hill House still so, fucking with them.
But I actually looked that up.
The writer was like, no.
The writer very greatly considered putting in the window in the red room in the back of that scene. And he nearly did it. And they were, like, pondering over it for a while. And then he was like, no, we do need a good ending after putting our audience through so much. Because yeah. He was like, what if we fucked with him? Like, just yeah. Like, it's a 2 year sobriety. And then they put the window in the back. Which I didn't even pick up on until, like, later on in the season. Because I was like, yeah. Why did these rooms look so...
Yeah.
Similar.
No, that was really well done.
Because it was, like, so subtle, but, like, when you think about it, you're like, yeah. Holy fuck, that's, like, blaringly obvious.
Yeah.
But you don't notice it because they've decorated each room different.
I did have a sense, and this wasn't, and I keep saying, like, it wasn't so much that it was predictable, it was just really good foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. I did have a sense mm-hmm. that there was something, not necessarily connected to the red room, but every time it was like, oh, I found it in the game room. The what?
Yes.
The treehouse. The what?
The what? Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was like, hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't put it together until later that it was all in the same room. But, like, beforehand, it was just like, they each seem like, to be, like, this house is kind of, like, shape-shifting.
The room
and, like,
of requirement room fucked
yeah, exactly.
with you.
Yeah, because it's like, how come they have these, like, different rooms? And it's like,
Because in fairness, like, it's a huge house.
It
right?
is, yeah. But then I remember, like, at the very beginning when one of them was like, because the mother was going, like, where is the youngest one? So Olivia
oh, yeah.
was going around being like, where's Luke? And then I don't remember who it was. Was it Nell? It was Nell.
No, it was the eldest son. Fuck, what was his name?
Son?
Yeah. He was like, oh, he's, have you tried the treehouse? Because he
was
the
like,
only
oh, and she's
very
like,
funny mister.
That's it, yes.
Yeah,
yeah,
because he was, because Luke had the whole no girls allowed.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is so...
so cute. And, like, that was also a big, like, mind fuck, like... At the very end, when the father was just like, Steve, that's the name, Steve. Where
yes.
he was just like, it's not that you didn't see it. It's just that you didn't put the pieces together. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, there was no man fixing the fucking clock. There was no guy in old clothes and a clock and a
yeah.
fucking handlebar mustache. Like, there was none.
It was
it
just a fucking hipster.
Yeah, right? Just fucking walked in with like a newsboy cap and was like, oh, would you like to try my fucking, my craft beer? Well, he just, like, cleans it.
I also really hope they don't do a second season, because...
They are gonna, but not related to Hill House. So it's gonna
okay.
be a separate series,
okay,
but
good.
Same, like...
Tone?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. That I'm fine with, but if they were gonna try and continue or, like,
no.
prequelize
no.
it,
no.
I think no. I think the story was well done the way
yeah.
it was. Going into the past, kind of, like, we've
well,
seen it already.
Yeah.
You know what happens.
Yes. Yeah. And it's based off a book, too.
The book is nothing like the...
Really?
The show, though. Yeah. The characters are not related.
Oh.
Like, they're not family. It's supposed to be talking, but, like, the theme was supposed to be, like, the broken family unit, but in fact, they were all strangers meeting at Hill House. The characters were either based off of the characters in the book or paid homages to certain references in the book. Yeah, but it's
see,
very...
I totally thought, because, like, everyone has been talking about, like, the book, and I was like, I should check it out. Because, like, I thought, like, since they were basing it off the book, it was like, okay, well, they put the entire book in this season, or series,
yeah.
whatever you want to call it, so it's done, but, like...
Yeah, no, it's like...
Okay.
So, if you were to read it, I think it would be kind of cool, because it's different, so you don't see too much of it come... I mean, like, obviously, there's going to be similarities, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure,
But, like, you'll see the little nods, and it'll be kind of fun,
right.
like that.
One of my buddies, because I saw him at a party a little bit ago, like, a week ago, and we were talking about it, because I was like, this show was so good. He's in my classes, so, like, because we... Fucking, you... My other friend, like, he threw a party, and, like, a bunch of us went, and we're all classmates, and, like, his friends, too, but all of us who are classmates fucking coagulated together and just sat there going, have you watched this movie?
So
you
just...
I know, literally, it's like, we spent the entire time talking about cinematography,
oh
and
my.
Then at one point, one of us was like, why the fuck are we spending fucking... It wasn't New Year's Eve, it was the day before, it was like, we're at a party, why are we talking shop right now?
Hmm.
But
that happens with all of my friends.
Yeah, yeah.
What we talk about are, like, the patients that we got, the weird samples that we get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's something that you could, like, when you talk about it, you share a level of education, you share a level
you
of
understand
understanding.
What you're talking about.
And you could actually talk to somebody who gets it, not
yeah.
just from that standpoint, but from, like, a I live this every day
yeah.
standpoint. But yeah, no, because he was like, I read the book, but I'm scared to watch the show. Because he's like, the book was so good. I don't want to watch a show that's going to be shitty. And I was like, dude.
It's not shitty.
Dude.
For this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
What yeah. Easily one of the best pieces of television I think I've seen.
So yeah. Fucking good. I will say, though, they were too heavy-handed with the color correction. Too heavy-handed. Some of it was very appropriate. Like, anything that was in the actual house itself was very appropriately colored. But anything that had to do with Steve and his, like, I think it was done on purpose. The super heavy, like, I could probably even show you what preset in Premiere that they just threw on top of it. Like, I was like, dude, this is, like, you didn't even fuck with the, like, the, it was way too heavy. No, that was my only complaint about it. Most of it, like I said, was well shot.
I binge-watched the entire thing in one go, so.
Well, I did it in two goes, but, like, I slept and I woke up in the morning and I was like, okay.
No, this was a 10-hour venture yeah. for me.
It was, like, it was too much. It was, like, very, very heavy-handed, and it just made everything a little too, I don't want to say stylized, because I, like, again, most of it was good, but anything that had to do with, like, Steve and his house, and when he was, like, arguing with his wife or whatever, it was, like, way too brown, way too, like, blue-greeny. Yeah. Oh. It was just, it was like, dude, whoever is your color corrector, you gotta sit them down and be like, look, not every scene has to be stylized all the way up to your fucking, like, asshole and inside and, like, tickling your prostate. Like, it doesn't have to be. It's okay, you could just do outside manual stimulation, that's all you need. But like, you know, it was like, this is a little
this
much.
This conversation is derailing. Because I was sitting with my brothers,
and I was like, dude, this looks like, it's like a first year video editor who was just like, oh, you could put fucking, you could put color presets on it.
Teal and orange.
Yeah, it was just way too much. That was a, holy shit, we're at 27 minutes.
We just.
Fuck. Okay, let's move on. Let's just move on. So I'm you're gonna start this time.
Yes, yeah, me. Yeah. So mine is really short. Okay. So I'm doing the spoop. The scary, the haunting.
The spoop.
So the Vancouver Art Gallery was founded in 1931 and it was first located in, like, I put the address, whatever, 1145 West Georgia Street in, guess where? Vancouver.
Oh no shit. The Vancouver Museum.
Art Gallery.
Vancouver Art Gallery.
How did you fuck that up already? And then it moved to its current location on Hornby Street, which was actually a former provincial courthouse. So the gallery is said to be haunted by the ghost of William Charles Hopkinson, who was murdered there when the building was still a courthouse. He is known as Charlie the Ghost. Mary's making a face.
Well, you said his name is William
Charles Hopkinson.
So he's Willie Dickie. He's literally Willie Dickie.
I thought she knew what I was going to be talking about, but no, that's what you're
no,
going
No, his
with.
Name is Willie Dickie.
No, he's good chap. He's called Charlie the Ghost, and he's actually kind of an asshole.
I like Willie Dickie better. Maybe well, Dick is appropriate.
Dick.
Okay.
Yes. The haunting itself is not that interesting. I couldn't really find too much information on the haunting, but the backstory, which is not at all spoopy, but very interesting piece of Canadian history, and also highly relevant to current events. Is what's interesting. So there's a spoop part. I'm done.
Oh my God.
I'm just gonna go into the history now because it's interesting.
Okay.
So Hopkinson was actually assassinated by a political activist named Miwa Singh in 1914. So Hopkinson was considered, quote, controversial, and I put AKA an asshole.
Yes.
He was instrumental in sending home the Komagata Maru, a Japanese ship that was carrying 376 Indian would-be immigrants to Canada. So I think at the time he was acting as interpreter, but he was like, I'll get into it.
Okay.
So he grew up in India and spoke Hindi. His mother was also Hindi. And he had actually served in British India as an intelligence officer, so a spy.
Yeah.
He was posted in Vancouver to, quote, keep an eye on immigrants from South Asia.
What?
And he'd actually developed a group of spies within the Vancouver Punjabi Sikh community.
Okay.
And because at the time, 1914-ish.
Yeah.
So British imperial rule was, like, a heavy thing in India. Mm-hmm. And his whole thing was to try and quell any revolutionaries who were trying to overthrow the British colonists.
Oh, okay.
So he'd actually provided tips to authorities about radicalist activist activity.
Same.
Which led to the British government making a number of arrests. And he also played a huge part in anti-immigrant laws.
Oh, fuck.
And I put, is basically a white asshole.
Oh, xenophobic dick.
Yeah, so he was trying to basically keep Canada as white as possible.
Yeah, okay.
And this was also, like, basically in favor of Britain, because Britain also wanted to keep, like, they didn't want too much mixing, basically, right? They wanted to keep Indians in India because it helped them enforce the idea of, like, white people being superior.
Yeah.
And once you, like, emigrate and you, like, you know, mix, you're more politically enlightened, right, is the word used. So they didn't want that. It,
but okay.
Yeah. So I put politically knowledgeable. That's probably better.
Yeah.
So like you know more about what the outside world is like, and they didn't, colonists don't want that.
No.
They want you to be in the dark, and they want to enforce the idea that they are better than you,
mm-hmm,
so that you won't like rise up against them.
Yeah.
And, obviously, his group clashed a lot with political activists. So there was a brawl in Vancouver, a so-called bloody brawl, led by Bela Singh, or Bela, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, who was one of the spies on Hopkinson's payroll.
Okay.
And against him and the Gadar? Activists, okay, who are basically the revolutionaries who are trying to overthrow the British rule.
Okay.
So Bela Singh shot two of the activists inside a Sikh temple.
Oh, no.
And, of course, he was arrested and charged with two counts of murder. Hopkinson was supposed to testify in his defense, which is why he was at the courthouse. So we bring back Miwa Singh, the assassin, who... It was one of the activists, so obviously was trying to fight against this oppression.
Yeah.
And partly was also like, okay, well, if he testifies, I mean, the courts are probably going to rule in the asshole's favor.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to say he shot himself in self-defense, and
oh my God.
Can spin it so easily. Yeah, right? Yeah, like, because this dude, despite being Punjabi and Sikh, was helping the white oppressors.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Furthering so, that. Like, they would more likely rule in his favor. And also, the act of murdering two people in a temple is a blatant act of sacrilege.
Yeah, like, that's fucking awful.
It's terrible, and as a devout Sikh man, Miwa Singh was like, this is unacceptable.
No.
So, he assassinated Hopkinson. Of course, he was caught because it wasn't exactly a stealthy... act, and he was hanged for the crime in the following year. But that is the turbulent ghost story of Charlie the Ghost, who sounds endearing but is in fact an asshole.
Well, Willie Dickie, you can go fuck yourself. How about that, Willie Dickie?
I would drop kick him in the balls.
I'm just gonna crack my back.
Well, here we go, daily crack.
Oh, you didn't hear any of that, did you?
I
touched that okay. bag.
That's what I...
That masked my cracking. Thanks for sharing that story of a fucking god-awful piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I'm just...
Is this another story about another god-awful piece of shit?
What I was gonna say is, this is a controversial episode, because yours is controversial, so...
Controversial.
No, mine is controversial.
I wouldn't call mine controversial. I think it would only really be controversial if you were of the mind that, like,
white Hopkins. Is best, yeah. Let us rule and reign and colonize. Yeah, I don't think most people are not like that. Most people see that as the fucking, like, disaster that is. Like, how
I mean, did
is.
He deserve to be shot and killed? Probably, arguably not.
Sorry,
was he an asshole?
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, there we go.
I saw a friend that I hadn't seen in, like, since high school. Since like first year of university. And like, I was over at her house and I met her, like, I didn't meet her mom. I saw her again. And since then, her mom has been doing the mom thing of like sending me like, oh, here's a picture, a PNG of like, oh, may God bless you. And have a great year. Send this to 10 friends. And
see where. Oh, no.
And it's so sweet because she means well, but I'm also like.
But oh, no.
Anyway, so my story. I'm just going to go ahead and give a couple of warnings. I am going to be discussing at length abortion / miscarriage / stillbirth.
Okay.
Stillbirth is a word for it. Some pretty gnarly things that has to do with how the bodies have been disposed. Yeah. So just like give you a warning because I know that this can be potentially triggering and pretty fucking awful. So here we go. On April 5th, 2006, On April 5th, 2006, the superintendent of a Mississauga apartment complex, Mississauga is like a city in the Greater Toronto Area, found a dead quote-unquote baby. There's a reason why the baby's in quotes. I will get to that. Wrapped in a towel inside a bag on the balcony of one of the building's units when he was called in to do a repair in the house.
Apartment.
So when he found this baby / body, he called the police. 4 days later, Ivana Levkovic, who at the time was 24, turned herself in to the Peel Regional Police, who charged her under the Section 234 of the Criminal Code. This law makes it illegal to dispose of a dead baby's remains with the intent to conceal its existence, quote, whether the child died before, during, or after birth. This is all important. My own personal note, every single article, and I read a few of them over the course of 6 years, and there's a reason why it's like 6 years of different articles, all of them would not stop emphasizing that she was a stripper.
Oh.
So you could already tell the tone that people were going, like, oh, she was a stripper. She was a stripper. And it's like, okay, good for her.
Yeah.
Like, what does this have to do with anything that she did?
It's a job.
Yeah. Ivana Levkovic claimed that she had fallen in her apartment, prompting the sudden birth. A coworker had later testified that she had actually been seeking an abortion since September of 2005. Again, this was April 5th, 2006, when the baby was found. But that a Toronto clinic refused to perform the procedure because at more than 20 weeks, it was too far along in the pregnancy, which is, it's standard.
Yeah.
The medical examination of the remains, however, found it that the fetus was likely at 36 weeks gestation. When it was delivered, and a typical pregnancy is usually 40 weeks.
Okay, so it was pretty close to
full term. It honestly would have been most likely a very viable birth had it been birthed instead of dying. I said that badly.
Yeah, because I was 3 weeks premature, so
that I think I was.
So I would have been 37 weeks.
Yeah,
I would have born. I would have been born in the following year. Can you believe that?
Oh my god. Then we would have been in two completely different age classes.
Yes.
As per the government.
Yes, so we would have met.
Good job. You came four days early? 4 days. You're the 27th. Four days, technically. Yeah, yeah.
4 days in time, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
To be born in good old 92.
I was supposed to be born either end of August or early September.
You still would have been in the same, year.
Oh, 100%, but it would have been a different sign. And anyway.
Kara was born on December 31st.
So she that just made is it. Like, whoo!
She just made it.
Smack it right in there. Okay, so the examiner, Dr. David Chaison, could not determine if the baby was born alive. Levkovic had admitted to, quote, doing a lot of drugs during the actual pregnancy. So there's a lot at stake as to determine whether or not she had actually fallen or did something else, or if it was just natural causes. Mm-hmm. So Levkovic's lawyers had argued that the law wasn't clear enough about whether or not a woman could. Ugh, I lost my spot. Wow. So, okay. We're going to go back to the whole, it is illegal to dispose of a dead baby's remains with the intent to conceal its existence, whether the child died before,
I think in general, during, it's illegal to, or after. To dispose of remains.
I'm going to get to that. Yeah, whether the child died before, during, or after birth. So the lawyers, her lawyers, argued that the law wasn't clear enough and could leave women unclear about when they would be covered by it, which would breach their rights under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Because this, the word before is what was causing a lot of confusion. What does that mean, before a birth? I know, but that's that. I nearly dropped my phone. This became a whole technicality fight.
Yeah, because so, I wish I could tell you exactly which clause in the Rose Charter, but there is where, like, your laws have to be unambiguous. Like, you can't be arguing. Like, you shouldn't be able to argue, does it mean this or that?
Yeah, because, like, before the birth of the baby, they're like, okay, does it mean, like, literally, like, a day before what would be the birth of it? Or does it mean, like, 6 months before what would be the birth of it? But then it's like, okay, so then when does it fall under abortion? And it becomes a whole thing. And they utilized that argument.
Wait, but it's with the intent of concealing its existence. If it was a legally done abortion,
yeah,
there would be no concealing.
I know.
So, huh?
They still argued it because they said that it was confusing because the concealing of the remains is, I don't know, it just, like, I guess because it's tied directly to the dead baby remains, that right. This particular line was brought into question about whether or not that made it legal. So technically, if they argued that, well, before it died, before birth, like, well before birth, then it would cover it. And then they're like, no, 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 no. She fell and it was stillborn or whatever. So it wasn't birth, it was dead. So is it okay to conceal the remains? It was a whole fuck show.
It should not be okay to conceal any remains anyway.
I know. But her lawyers fucking pulled it off. And so a lower level court agreed with that argument that the before is ambiguous and that would technically make it legal. It said the word before in the law was vague and Lefkovic was acquitted in 2008, 2 years after, a year and a half, 2 years after the whole ordeal. But there was, like, a judge that was like, what the actual fuck?
Same.
So, the decision was reversed in the Ontario Court of Appeal and a new trial was ordered. And so the acquittal was ordered over the charter issue before the trial started. So Canada's top court, when she went into it in 2012, agreed with the appeal court in a 7-0 decision. Yeah, Supreme Court. So they were like, yep, we have to go. Oh, I just whacked myself in the fucking headphones. They have to go back to court to figure out what the fuck this is. So the decision was written by Justice Morris Fish and said Lefkovic's lawyers and the appeal court judge ignored a past ruling which stated a fetus becomes a child when it reaches a stage in development where it's likely to be born alive, barring some external event or circumstance. Because the child was near the 40-week mark, the court said it should be considered a stillbirth and should have been reported to authorities so that it could undergo a medical examination. As a result, the court ordered a trial for Lefkovic. So, the Supreme Court, during this whole thing, avoided the debate over when life begins and noted the section of the criminal code in question applies only to stillbirths and not to abortions or miscarriages. And so, when she actually went to trial in 2012, her lawyers then argued that they could not prove that it wasn't a miscarriage. They could not prove that it wasn't a miscarriage. So she actually ended up being acquitted yet again.
But it doesn't... that's not what the law says. It doesn't matter if it was a miscarriage or a purposeful miscarriage, or if it was even an abortion. Like, it's concealment. It's, like,
of remains, period. Yeah. And so,
where did these lawyers...
I don't know, but
how did they pass the bar?
6 years, from 2006 to 2012, an appeal and a retrial, and every time, her lawyers fucking won.
Let me see, show me you copy and pasted the law as it says, right?
Yes.
Let me
it says. The criminal code...
Because I am not a lawyer, but I can tell you, like...
Section 234 of the criminal code...
The law makes it illegal to dispose of a dead baby's remains with intent to conceal its existence, whether the child was died before, during, or after birth, which covers all stages of its fucking life, to be totally honest.
Yeah. But that was the question. When does it count as a miscarriage? When does it count as an abortion? And when does it count as an actual stillbirth?
But
still
it doesn't matter. Birth. It's not... That's not what the law is saying at all.
But that's what they argued. And that's how they got away
with it. Well, they're fucking morons. I'm sorry.
I fully agree. I fully, 110% agree. Especially because...
How did the Supreme Court of Canada...
It was a technicality because before it was vague. So it was like,
fuck. It was not vague.
Well, that's the thing because there was a whole... Okay, so in my personal opinion, don't fucking come at me because it's a personal opinion. Abortion is legal until 20 weeks.
Yes.
I think up until 20 weeks, it is considered abortion. It shouldn't be considered miscarriage or any of that. Well, I mean, technically,
well, you
miscarriage.
Can still have, yeah.
Yeah, but the act of aborting it up until that point, okay, so we eliminate that from this discussion.
Because
from,
clearly it was after.
Yes. Yeah. From 20 weeks forward up until the 40-ish weeks of mm-hmm. when birth would be occurring, that should be the before. Because,
right.
Because, like, at any point, it's like, can a baby be viable past 20? Can it? I think so.
Yeah.
25, 30 weeks. Yeah, okay.
How long? 30 weeks is what? 8 months? Less than 8 months. 7.5 months. Yeah.
Yes.
I've known people who...
Yeah, yeah. Born at 6 months, even. 5 or 6 months.
Yeah. It's so difficult.
It is very difficult,
time,
but technically but... viable. Mm-hmm. While at below 20 weeks, you're just literally just a morphing clump of cells. Like, you're
yes.
not much of anything.
Yeah.
So that is where that...
I'm still not much of anything, but I mean...
Okay. Same. But that, like, that caused such a huge rift. And so you have the lawyers arguing against it, being like, this is such a fucking disgrace to the law and to fucking babies as well, too. Because it's like, yeah, okay, there's a period where it is just a fetus. And it's
yeah.
not born yet. It obviously doesn't have fucking... It can't live outside
but,
of the womb, so it's
not
considered.
But the Supreme Court completely omitted that because, honestly, it is not relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you were to argue that life begins at conception,
mm-hmm.
whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's still... That's still not what the law is saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's a clump of cells or a fully formed fetus or, like, you know when you... When you say a dead baby, like, I mean, I guess technically baby is ambiguous.
Yeah.
Because you could have
Well, that's
baby,
the thing. You've got
child,
all these people arguing.
Fetus.
And then it's also like, I didn't put it in the actual thing that I compiled together because I was like, you know what? This is way too much of a fucking endless pit. But there was a whole thing that her lawyers brought up about whether or not it should be legal to... conduct a miscarriage on your own terms. And it was like a whole fucking can of worms that were open because it was like, there's a miscarriage below 20 weeks and then there's a miscarriage when you're about to give birth and you're like, I don't want this anymore. And that's two completely different ballparks.
Yeah.
And so it was like, okay, well, it's not technically born yet, so it's not an actual citizen, which is totally fair because it's not born,
mm-hmm.
but does that give her the right to self-miscarry and to take law into her own hands? Or is it something that is like, no, at this point you're actually committing something that is heinous?
I mean, that is a tough...
It's a very tough call. And they pulled
because...
that card. They pulled that card. Because they're like, well, okay, at what point does it make it okay? And then it was just like, I still don't know how or why they were able to pull it off. And
probably the two laws have changed since then, too. If they pulled that, and that is not so much... See, but what they're trying to do is get her off. They're not challenging the law. That's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Challenging the law means that this law is not fair or changes need to be made to make it more clear or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they're doing, though. They're just trying to get her off.
Mm-hmm.
So that argument completely
yeah.
has no context.
But then
it
escalated all the way to the Supreme Court twice.
Because
and she won both times.
I do agree that, like... Okay, like, personally, I am pro-choice.
Mm-hmm, me too.
As, you know, I feel
I'm pro-choice,
like,
all the way.
I feel like people would have guessed the tone from the tone of this podcast if they listened enough.
At any point, you listen for 5 minutes, you're like, yep, okay.
So, like women or whoever has the ability
mm-hmm.
to give birth,
mm-hmm.
to conceive a child,
mm-hmm.
like... It's your body.
It
you
is,
should 100%. Have you should have the choice whether or not you want to have literally a parasite.
Yeah.
Like if you want to have that child, firstly, for the 9 months that you're pregnant and suffering, because mm-hmm. I have never been pregnant, but I, everyone
who 10 I've, months. Technically 10 months.
Well, I mean, like, while they're still with, like...
No, I know, yeah. But I mean, like, that's another thing, too. It's not 9 months. It's actually 10 months it's that you suffer
years, through. Some people will say.
Oh, yeah, true. It's a whole fucking lifetime, man.
So, like, you should be able to decide, do I want to go through this? Do I... Am I able to bring up this child? Mm-hmm. Like, if, you know, for me, considering what we know about the foster care system.
Yeah.
What we know about the strain on child care system.
Yeah.
And the strain of child care on families. Like, it is
financially draining. And how much abuse. And,
yeah, like.
And neglect is.
We've all heard yeah. the stories of children who were born, quote, unwanted, and end up being, all those, to the extremes where the kids are being abused, mm-hmm. they're being imprisoned mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. by their parents. Mm-hmm. Like, those are people who should have made the decision to not have abort. The kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And because, like, you know, at a point, it's not so much, this is my body. It's also, like, what about the kid?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if mm-hmm. I bring this child into the world, are they going to have a chance at this world?
Agreed. Yeah, agreed.
So, but like, you know, the whole argument of at, what was it, 36 weeks?
Yeah.
Like, is it still your own choice and, or are you killing a child? Yeah. That's definitely shakier because so close to full term.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like 10 weeks, 15 yeah. weeks, 20 weeks, not even 23 weeks. It's like you're looking at a full-term baby at this
point. It's kind of like, you know, you've had the time to make yeah, to make this decision. Yeah.
I mean, she still holds her own that she fell. And she was like, oh my God, I put my hand down on my stomach and it wasn't moving. And I panicked and I figured it was a stillbirth. And so I gave birth and then it was dead. So I put it in a bag. But they can't actually determine whether or not the baby
yeah
died or she just... Well, because at and first the same, when they brought
when,
her...
But when the lawyer said, like, brought up the whole can of worms of, like, should a woman be able to induce a miscarriage...
When the government won't do it for her. Yeah.
Like, that kind of makes it a little, you know, that really casts doubt on her initial story.
Oh, 100%.
That she had 100%. No intention to...
And, like, what she was originally brought in charge for was, like, failing to seek help, medical assistance when she was giving birth, failure to provide mm-hmm. medical assistance to a baby, failure to report the death and all that, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like, oh, no, it wasn't alive when I gave birth to it. It was just like, it was stillborn. And the thing is,
like, I really don't want to sound like I'm doubting this woman because enough of that shit happens all the time anyway. Yeah. But, like, but if it, even when you panic.
Yeah. Right?
And I can understand that is a very... very upsetting situation.
Absolutely. Right? Like, it can be, yeah.
Like, I can just imagine, like, the absolute devastation.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm really good at gauging people's reactions, because everyone reacts differently, but, I mean, if your reaction is to put the baby in a bag outside...
There's something else underlying.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, too, it's like, okay, so you had a stillbirth, and it's like, okay... So you call the police, you go to the hospital, you get checked out to make sure everything's okay, and then you're just like, okay, fuck, like, if you need to mourn, you mourn, or if you, whatever it yeah. is. But like, in this case, there was just way too many parameters that were too fucking fishy, especially because we live in Canada. We don't live in some fucking, like...
The States.
You don't live in a situation where, one, you're gonna get charged, like, money to go to the hospital, mm-hmm. and two, like, if you just, like, were like... I just gave birth and it was violent and terrible and it's dead. Like, they're not gonna fucking, like, they'll take the body no. and they'll do preliminary tests or whatever the fuck, but yeah. it's gonna be like, are you okay? We're gonna give you medical care and because you have gone through something terrible and traumatic.
My also first instinct would also be like, you would try to save that baby's life.
Yeah.
If it was a miscarriage, you would...
Stillbirth, yeah. Yeah.
And again, like, people act... in ways that you don't necessarily understand when they're under duress.
Yeah.
So I'm not
so that was putting the other too much thing.
Weight on it, but, like... Yeah,
because she was, like, I was on a lot of drugs during the pregnancy, so...
Oh, yeah.
It very much could have been a stillbirth, but she could have also been on drugs when she did it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And in that situation,
she would try to
hide it. Yeah, you know? And so, but it seemed also just very, like, irresponsible to just hide it on the fucking balcony and then be like, yo, superintendent, can you come and do this thing, please? Yeah. And
like, I'm not trying to, like, shame that woman, because regardless of what the situation was, it was just kind of tragic and difficult all around.
Yeah.
It's just, like, I'm just mad at the lawyers.
Yeah,
I'm not even mad at her. I'm mad at the lawyers. Like, what the fuck?
It's an absolute gong show. And so, like, people were considering it a potential landmark decision. A potential. But I feel like things have changed a lot since then. Because the last time this was updated was 2012. And I'm sure that the laws have changed since then. But it was something when I was reading it, I was like, what the actual fuck? How did anybody let her get away with that at all? And then how did the Supreme Court go, well, you know what? Your argument sounds right. It's like, okay, even if you were to argue that the before part was ambiguous, sure, fucking fine, whatever.
But it
you
doesn't even apply.
An entire other world of shit you could actually address about the situation.
And like, again, like, none of this was about actually trying to change the law.
Yeah.
Right? This wasn't an argument about agency over her body and her pregnancy. This wasn't about, you know, it's not like, does a woman have a right to terminate her pregnancy after 20 mm-hmm. or so weeks? Like, it wasn't about that. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with that. Like, if
they were trying to prove that she had done nothing wrong. And I feel like it was just one of those things that was like, yeah, well, what about it? And it just completely escalated.
Yeah.
You know, because they were like, well, this word says that she was okay. And then people are like, fuck, that's ambiguous. Fuck. Okay. And then someone else is like, no, fucking no. Yeah. And then they take it up higher. And then some fucking idiot who's sitting at the top of the fucking Supreme. Well,
it was a 7-0.
Right? Yeah.
It has been.
To have it appealed.
Oh.
But she still got acquitted.
Yeah.
At the very end, the second time around, she still got acquitted.
It's just dumb.
Fuck.
It's
dumb. So that's
my story. The legal aspect of it is dumb.
I'm sorry if that was, like, rambling, upsetting or unclear, because I think they actually, I was telling Shelley earlier, I think that a bunch of news sources conflated two different people as one. Yeah? Because, like, there was a couple of other news sources. I went with the ones that were notoriously and traditionally the most reliable that we know of. The other ones were just, like, suggested that she had a pimp and that she actually gave birth in 2002 or 2003 and then kept the baby in a freezer and then threw it in a river and somebody witnessed it and, like, her pimp died of AIDS complications. Oh, and then, like, it was a whole fucking web of shit. And I was like, okay,
that sounds...
What? And then you have, like
they've taken some artistic liberties.
Yes. And then you have the actual, like, made National for Netflix. Post and fucking The Star or whatever, like, stuff that... And they're just like, here's a play-by-play of what happened at the fucking...
Yeah, because the other thing sounds like a Netflix
doesn't thing. It? Doesn't it? CBC?
Not one of the good ones.
Fix your shit. But yeah, no, it was just... It was... Yeah, so I was like, So if you end up looking it up yourself, just be wary of that. Look for the ones that talk about the actual fucking... court issues and like the play-by-play of,
and
like,
again, we're really criticizing the handling of the legal aspect, not the underlying issues, which is a lot more complicated than we're gonna get into.
And I know that stillbirths are like hard to diagnose when you have it, like, compared to like other deaths, or you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I wouldn't know, that's not my expertise.
I worded that very, very terribly. Like, I get that. I get why the coroner was not able to determine whether or not it was alive when it was, like... Because Lord knows what she did. Lord knows what she did. If it was something like strangulation or whatever, that would be easier to solve. But it could also be like, okay, but it came out that way. And you're like, okay.
Could have just been a traumatic birth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the umbilical cord was wrapped around its head. You could, like... There's a whole bunch of different things that you could absolutely argue if it's, like... You know what I mean? And it's like... A body that tiny and that decomposed and, like, fucking whatever, it's, like, that it's done so. It's done for. It's Dunyan rings. So, like,
No, Mary.
So, like, I get why there was, like, an inconclusive result being, like, I can't actually tell when the baby died. Or how, even.
Yeah.
I get that. But, still, it's kind of like, what the actual fucking garbage? So, yeah, that was the story.
Great start to the new year,
Great Mary. Start to the new year. Something that makes me angry. Thanks for listening, guys. Anything else you want to say before we fucking sign off and lay down for a little bit? Because April's back hurts. Yeah. Housekeeping. Okay, we're on the internet. Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, at Canada Obscura, all one word. We did not get frigging tagged by Tumblr yet, so we're still sailing that good ship. Free internet browser. No, free internet site. Anyway.
Fuck. What the fuck?
I don't know. I'm
that?
So tired. I've been up since. What time did I? I woke up at 6:30 today. Yeah, yeah. I work today. We also have an email, CanadaObscuraPodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up with literally whatever.
Mary looks over and I'm gone.
Yeah, she's like totally laying down. Updates are fucking on, usually on Twitter, Instagram. Yeah, you fucking know the spiel at this point. Anyway, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed yourselves. Happy New Year again. May this year be even better than the last. And may you have lots of good things happen this year. Shelly's pulling out my hair.
Am I though?
Yeah. We'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
All the way over there. Yeah, that's an eternal fucking mood. Welcome to 2019, where we're still exhausted as fuck.
Even more exhausted.
Even worse.